Yeah, what are you heading out to Texas this week? So if you're going to the Titanium office visit this coming week, which a handful of you probably are on this call, I'll see you there. So I'm flying out there Monday, and I'll be with you through the whole time. So it's Wednesday, so looking forward to that. We've got a couple of things tonight, a little bit of a deal review, which we have no problem doing that on these calls. On the Wednesday, we can talk about anything in and around and about the non-performing note business. They do try to, as a regular habit, to do the deal reviews really more on a Monday, Tuesday night for the non-performing webinars. But no problem, just a little heads up on that. And we had another little 50-50 question that came in very last minute, and we'll see if we can address that as well. But 50-50 also is a paper out strategy, which would be really better structured for the performing note calls. But we'll get through. I appreciate you sending the content in, and I know Sarah does as well. Sarah's on with me.
Yep.
And
hello.
The sooner we can get those in, the better, yes. Especially on things like deal review. And because I have other conference calls and things like that, and when we're getting ready for this Wednesday call, I don't have a whole lot of time late in the afternoon to look at things before you before getting on the webinar. So the sooner you can get them in for Wednesday, the better that's going to be for all of us. But do appreciate you sending in any of the content that you want to cover, and we shall go through it here. So let's take a look then at the first deal.
Sure. The question, it's kind of lengthy. Basically, they want help reviewing a asset that's on Notes Direct.
Right. And well, I've seen a lot of good performing notes, so I'm not sure what you were looking at on performing notes. Maybe you just mean performing notes that were good for you for what reasons, but you're looking at doing a non-performing note now. Fine. No problem. So this is the one in Kentucky, right? The first one?
Actually, I have the wrong one pulled up, so let me just pull up the...
I'll kind of go through this. You've got a non-performing note here you're looking at. Original note was $105,000. They did a modification in 2012 for $108,000. Unpaid balance, $103,000. Property is occupied and seems in good shape. And was I looking at the wrong one, too?
Yeah, the first one is the Bolingbrook one. Sorry, and Anthony, you are unmuted if you want to chime in.
Okay, I'm here. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing? How are you?
Good. I apologize for these two reviews on Wednesday. My wife and I both work on Tuesdays, and I was not aware of that. So
no, it's not a problem. That's why I just said, you know, we absolutely can do them. I'm just letting everybody else know that in general practice that's what they try to do, so not a problem at all here. All right, but I was looking at the wrong asset to begin with here, so I need to look at 56177, and I know you're showing it on your screen. I'm looking at my screen as well to open up some other details here. Okay, so before we even get into this, one of the things I always think of in terms of what do you want to do with this? What's your goals with this? So on the one here in Illinois or the one in Kentucky, are they both similar techniques as what you're wanting to do? Buy the note, acquire the property, and then just sell it as is? Is that the...
No, there are different. The one in Kentucky is not occupied. So with that one, the strategy initially was... a deed in lieu. I mentioned, I think, in my text that I had found the owner's mother's obituary online, and it indicated that he still lived in the same town. But even though Kentucky is the hardest hit fund state, I didn't think with him being out of the house 2 years that he would probably want to get back in it. So being that he may still live in the area, deed in lieu, take possession of the property. It looked like it was in pretty good shape. From the BPO indicated it just needed cleaned up inside. There was some trash, maybe $4,500 in some maintenance. But there was, as far as taxes and municipal liens, in class, we had talked about those a little bit, and I just wasn't sure, looking at those, how serious they were.
Okay. So you want to look at the Kentucky one first then?
Yeah, I was just going to pull that one up here. Might as well.
Okay. So we'll take a look at this one. So, yeah, a couple things, of course, with this one. So knowing what you want to accomplish overall is important. You know, when you go into these deals, and you have to know how you're getting out of these deals as well. So that's an important part of this one. So the one in Kentucky, you'd be looking at getting the property and then turning around and selling it. So one of the first thought processes that I went through was, well, how big is Junction City, Kentucky? And
right.
When you look up that, and she's already, I believe, has that at bestplaces.net, the population there is very small. I think there's 650 houses. There's a 2,000 people total population, 2.5 people per home kind of thing. And let's see, if you scroll up a little bit on the top there, let's see. Yeah, if you go over to click on population, right under the 2,681.
Okay, yep.
That's total population. When you click there, you'll see it'll break it down into household and everything else.
Right.
And that's a potential challenge for you. One of the things that we always, you know, think in terms of is, okay, if you do acquire this property, how quickly would you be able to turn around and sell the property as is? And that's getting pretty small. There's also, it didn't look like people were moving into this area. It looks like, if anything, people are moving out of this area just as a population shift. I think they lost 2.5, maybe 3.5% of their population over the last year, and that would be, for me, a little bit concerning, if you will, because I just would hate to get stuck with something in an area where, you know, days on market start to get pretty long.
When you were looking at the best places, does it say what the percentage of the properties in Junction City are rented versus owner-occupied? I thought I saw something about that, and with Danville being relatively close, I wasn't sure if people were working in Danville and maybe renting or living in Junction City. So my initial thought was to look into that and then potentially just get it fixed up and potentially rent it until I had a good rental history and then potentially sell it. But
okay. And and that's why, again, just kind of talking through and thinking through these. If you click on the left-hand side there, you just passed it, housing stats. Yeah, the housing stats. Give you that right underneath real estate.
Yep. It's just taking a while to find it. Here we go.
Yeah, so you're looking at a strong rental, 38%, 39% rental market, 54% of homes being owned, and then 7% vacancy rate on that. So yeah, just from that standpoint, it's something of some level of concern, just pure population-wise. But if you're okay with a longer-term strategy, and that's why I asked in the beginning what you wanted to do, if this was more of a quick-turn type of deal that you were looking to do, get it in, get the property, and turn around and immediately sell it, and that's what you need to do, I would have major concerns with this from this standpoint. But if you're okay with turning this into a longer-term project, then it kind of shifts the equation really more to the money side there, because I did notice, I believe, the rents were pretty strong in that area as well.
Right.
And so that's a good thing. So this one is vacant, and you would have to track the gentleman down to to get the deed in lieu. I think you're totally right. Even though it's hardest hit funds, he's not coming back. I mean, that's too far stretched to seeing that somebody's going to uproot their life again, move back in, and plus this is a land contract. and Kentucky may not even consider that for hardest hit funds. So I don't think those are good strategies for this one as well. What you may want to do on this one, are you comfortable with the numbers? Where are you at as far as your feeling with what the property is worth?
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with that. And again, you know, looking at it from a, if I did get it, and we couldn't rent it, or, well, I think the numbers are good enough, and there's enough margin in it for us that it could take. We could. We would be okay taking longer if we needed.
Yeah, because you get more money in the. I'm looking at the BPO as well there, and using a cap rate gives that value $41,000 versus just the sales approach. And
right.
If you can open that BPO, let's take a look at that one, Sarah.
Sure.
Because the BPO that they have on that, they're using comparable sales that are all distressed, and you probably noticed that as well. They're all REOs. They did use a couple of fair market values when they were looking at the comparable listings, but all the sales are distressed. So I believe that this property value, at least by the comparable sales approach, is really being artificially depressed on this. So if you go to page 3 on the bottom, it shows you the type of transaction. And everybody, you'll notice on there REO, 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 and then a couple of fair markets, then another REO. And this is fairly common for what we're seeing in these price ranges. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for you because it may be that you're getting a piece of undervalued real property, especially when you look at what the rents are in the area. And I'm trying to – do you have that number of what the rent was from the BPO?
$520.
I see it there. Yep, 520. And just out of curiosity, you may want to run it through Rent-A-Meter too and see what they have. But that's good small rent or good rent. A little small town, so I think that's probably a better idea for this. Let me go back. Let's take a look at those liens though. So when you find the other rent on there, we'll take a look at the lien. So you're okay buying this note and then renting it out, having a longer-term play on this one. So this property would work out pretty well for that. But the added expense of these other liens could be a problem. So let's make sure we can take a look at those.
It was the liens and the taxes, I think, that were almost $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the last maintenance fees from the city were in August of 2015. So, you know, I'm not sure if there's more that I'm not seeing there. If they've been charging $300 a month, you know, for the last year and a half, that is not even listed.
So. Yeah, so they've been doing taking care of the lawn, that sort of thing, maintaining the property. Those can be very difficult to have removed. I'm guessing in a small city such as that, they need money too. So I'm just, and this is just purely my thought process here, that those are probably going to be hard to have removed. Now, before you would buy this note, of course, can you make a call to the city and explain these notices are on there, and is there a possibility that they may work with you? And you would frame that to where, look, you want to be a part of the cure here, not a part of the problem, and you want to get this a performing property again here too, but with these other liens in place, it's going to make it a bit difficult for you as an investor to buy this. So would the city work with you to reduce these down to some number? In other words, just negotiate them down. So that's something I would do before you would buy this note. Certainly, it's worth making a couple phone calls. Now, having said that, dealing with a lot of different counties and that sort of thing, it's probably not going to be the first person you talk to that's going to be able to give you that answer. Okay, the first person you talk to, and that's going to say, no, we don't negotiate those down, that they are, that is what it is. I would take it a step further. So if that means you have to ask for a supervisor, or you frame it in a way where you say, well, if someone were able to do that for me, who would that person be, and how would I contact him or her? You know, do it that way, because very rarely do you get somebody on the phone at the initial county, city level that you know, really has even the you know, the power to give answers such as that. So that's one of the things I would do. All right, she showed us the rent there, so 500 and 550 on that. So rent wise, you're strong. I can't remember what was your price on this note. I had the other one up first.
My cost?
Yeah.
10,003, I think. 10,008.
Okay, and you got a good.
10,003.
Okay, and the BPO came in at 27 as is, income approach 41. Okay, so you know you're right in there, market type of pricing on that. Good rent. This may be something you end up doing a 50-50 on too. By the way, I want you to know the market a little bit better, but. I do think your better strategy is going to be to rent this out rather than trying to do some seller financing and that sort of thing on it. Mm-hmm. And that, keep in mind that you could turn around and sell that as a turnkey rental. That may be strong play out there. Okay, so these other
when
means.
You call the clerk and when you call the county, do you start with the clerk and recorder's office, or is there the treasury, or
on these liens? Let's see, municipal, city, and code liens. If you want to pull the lien, I've got too many screens open here. I'm not sure which ones are Sarah's and which one's mine. I got to close some of these things out. Confusing myself here. These are all city level maintenance liens where they've been cutting the yard. So just go through the clerk of court, county clerk, and if you use that little netronline.com website, and find the clerk of court, that's going to be the best place to go, because at least the clerk of court, if they can't answer the question, they can direct you who would. So this might be something that has to go through, I don't think it's going to be treasury, because that's normally just taxes and lien enforcement, but it could be something through zoning where you have to might talk with somebody. But the clerk of court should be listed there, and that's where I would start.
Can she scroll down on that pro title, because I thought that there were taxes that had been sold as well.
Yep.
So that, okay, let's take a look at that.
Yep. Oh.
Sold or forfeited. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those, you know, are not going to go away. So those are the biggest concern would be those other taxes. Those you're going to have to pay. There's no getting around those. The city liens, dollar-wise, they're more money. The city might work with you, but again, I'm just guessing because of a smaller city, and they're going to say, no, we're not going to negotiate with that, but it's worth a shot. But the property taxes are definitely a concern there. So did you run the numbers? And let me pull up a calculator here. Did that 420, does that equal all those other liens bundled up or something?
It did not.
Those other liens look a lot more than that. Or you mean just the ones above there?
Plus 135. I'm just running the math on them there just to check. Plus 43, 07, 393. Okay. Yeah, call the that's going to be the tax collector's office or the treasurer, whatever they call it in that particular county, and get a number on that. And you want to find out when is a tax deed sale scheduled for? Okay, the tax deed sale is the big one. All right, so city lien was 2011. That was sold or forfeited. That's an interesting way to put it. Two different outcomes. County, city. Okay, I was reading that wrong from 1472. Yeah, you're going to have to call the county and figure out what's going on there, the county and the city, and see what they mean on that 2011 sold or forfeited. I don't have a good answer for you on that, because they're two totally different things, obviously.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see. No HOA. No. It's 266 delinquent tax bill. Yeah. Okay. So on this one, if the numbers are good, if you didn't have all these other things, right? You're at about a 50% or so based on comparable sales value, but the house has a lot more value to it if you can rent it and sell it as a turnkey rental. Then it's worth $40,000, so you're at a much better, much lower investment-to-value ratio. But these other numbers are going to come back and hurt you. So what you may want to do then is if I were looking at doing this one, I would get another opinion of value, somebody who's in the local area that can really zero in on the rental a bit more for me as well. So I'd make some calls up there to find a local real estate agent that get on their website to see what kind of real estate they're involved in and have them run another opinion for you. Maybe since the house is vacant, they can also kind of do one of those numbers and take a look. If they could, and that would be helpful, have them take a lot of pictures on it. And if you find an agent out there who works in the rental space, if that's the best plan, which I think it is for this one, they will probably go out there and do all of that for you for free if you're going to use them, you know, to rent the property, if that's something that you're considering. Then you're going to have to call the county and the city and figure out what the issue is on these taxes. And again, that's probably past the first level person. I run into that all the time where the first level person on the tax is just going to tell you, here's what's owed. You know, and it's like, I know that's what's owed, but when does this have to be paid? When's a sale? They may not know that. So search their website first to see what if you can get information online. Smaller city might not have everything on there. So call up the county, find out about what the taxes are. You could probably live with paying all those property taxes. That's not going to be a big number change for you there. The other liens, though, holding six, at least six of those, probably another one this month, seven, so there's another $2,100 there. Again, not necessarily a deal killer, but I would sure love to be able to negotiate those down, and the best way I've seen to do it is, again, let them know you're not a delinquent bank. You are an investor who again, wants to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem, and that those fees are affecting whether you could do this or not. And I'm sure they don't want that house to continue to sit there and be vacant. In fact, the city's not only not collecting taxes on it, they're actually, you know, spending money on it every single month for upkeep. So try those and see what they come back with on that, and then you know, put it on another Wednesday call, and we'll see where we are on it and move forward. But other than that, the concern is that town enough people that would rent there, and that's why I think a good local real estate agent who's got a better feel on the rental market would be the person that I would talk to in pursuing that deal.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Any other questions on that one?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
All right. Here's the next one.
Let's take a look at the next one here.
Let me pull it up.
Okay. So this one is a again non-performing, but this one is occupied and it seems in pretty good shape. $70,000 market value. They're upside down on this one, and this one is in Illinois, if I remember. Yeah, Illinois.
Right.
Okay.
Quite a ways out of Chicago.
Okay. Well, it's about 45 minutes west southwest.
Right.
And this is 56177. Okay. All right. So, what's the What's the direction? I lost my mouse connection here. What's the thought process on this one again?
This
what
one.
Do you want to accomplish?
Well, the since they're still in it, non-performing, Illinois is a hardest hit fund state. They provide up to $35,000 for keeping people in their homes. My concern was that he'd had a modification in 2012, and I just wasn't sure if that disqualifies them for hardest hit funds.
No, I've never seen that. I say no off the top of my head, but I've just never seen that because, again, the goal of the program is let's keep people in their homes. So when they did the mod, they probably did so-called permanent mods where the interest rate actually went up over 5 years. So it may be a situation like that, or it was through some kind of a HUD program. So is this one a land contract, though, or is this a mortgage or note?
This one is a mortgage.
Okay. Okay, good. All right. So, yeah, you get a much better chance of that. And I'm showing Illinois $25,000. They may be paying more than that now. Have you visited Illinois' website?
Yes. Yeah, that's where I saw that.
And so you've done some research on that. Is it still 25 or is it up to 35 now?
Let me go and look at it again real quick. But if in my notes that I sent you, which I don't have them in front of me.
I'm actually looking at it now. It says online application open Monday, August 1st, 2016. You may qualify for up to $35,000 in federal assistance. No cost. So they have, I thought they did. So they've bumped that up. I changed it on my spreadsheet. They bumped that up to $35,000.
Right. I guess being as new as we are at this, I would question why hasn't this person looked into that? I mean, that would completely negate their being underwater.
Well, the problem typically is as simple as it sounds. The people don't know about it. That's the problem. A lot of these programs, they don't advertise, and people really just need to be told that these exist. Some people, and I've heard from other students who just said, we had some people who didn't believe us that the program was legitimate, you know. So how do we overcome that? And my response to that one is the state has on their website, they do have on their a fact sheet, and the fact sheet has all the contact information, the phone numbers and everything else, and that's what totally legitimizes all of that.
Right.
And, so that's really what it comes down to. They simply aren't aware of it. Now, they may also have to be pushed to fill out the paperwork. I've had some students tell us, yeah, they see it, but it seemed like a lot of effort, and they didn't have all the different documentations and that sort of thing. So it could be as simple as that. And these people really would be foolish to not do that. And your price on this note is right about that then. Right around the $35,000, so that would sure be nice if you got the $35,000 back from the county. Now, this is a condo, yes?
It is. It's in a nice area. The BPO, I can't bring it up on my iPad, but I think the BPO was done almost a year ago, 9 months ago, indicated that the market was increasing by 1.2% a month, it said. So it's an appreciating area. Oh, so it was over a year ago. It was done 5 of 2015.
Okay. So same thing again. Hopefully you're right and you've looked at the free sites and you feel that the value is continuing to go up. I mean, that's a good thing for you. You're getting it cheaper than what it actually is worth. The comps on that look pretty tight too. Proximity, it was all good on him. That all looks good. So they're coming in at about $70,000 on this one. So again, you're about that 50% mark, but boy, those hardest hit funds would be a game changer on this one. No question.
I did look at the taxes. I looked at the taxes on this as well, and it looked like all of the back taxes have been paid. I think just the most recent one said paid delinquent or something like that. If it says paid delinquent, does that mean it's paid, but it was paid late?
It could be, and again, different counties, the way they call different things, you know, total county taxes due current plus delinquent. So are you saying they still owe $9,000? That's what you're asking me?
Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure. I think I was conflating the one in Kentucky and this one, because this was the one that had taxes sold 2012 and 2013. They were sold to mid-tax.
Gotcha.
And they had until June of 2015 to pay them. So what does mid-tax do if they don't pay them by June 2015? Do they sell the property or?
Yeah, so mid-tax is a company that invests in these tax liens. And I think in Illinois it's a two-year redemption period. 15, you know, so it should technically then go to a tax deed sale, and then the tax deed sale, the property itself would be sold. Now, some states require that you file to do the sale. In other states, it's automatic. So it seems kind of odd, and this is, again, you're going to have to call the county to really feel this out, but it could be where mid-tax has the right to foreclose on the property, but for whatever reason, they're deciding not to do that because whatever they bought that tax lien for, that interest rate will just continue to accrue,
right?
If that makes sense. In other words, so if they bought these liens and they're making 8%, rather than foreclose on it, take the property back, they just might want to hang in there a while, thinking that at some point in time, somebody's going to pay us off when they buy this property, and we'll just keep accruing that interest. So it could be that is what they do. You could obviously do a Google tax for mid, Google search, I should say, for mid-tax. But this is another just great example, everybody. Sometimes you got to call the counties and figure out what's going on. So what you found there, Sarah, first installment.
This is the title report.
Mm-hmm. First installment of taxes was due on 6/3/15, have not been paid. Second due, yeah. Okay.
I think the date on this title report that was after that redemption was done, well, this says as of 6/10, and I think they had through 6/4 or 6/5 to pay them. So
I would just need to call the county and find out exactly what's going on with the taxes. And they will talk to me, even though I have no holding.
Correct. Yeah, it's all a part of public records, and you can start your search online if you want, and you go to I use the website netronline.com, and you put in the zip code, and it gives you all the links for the assessor's office and the recorder's office, taxes, everything all in one place, and it gives you the websites and the phone numbers. So you may want to start there. Was there a tax report on this one as well, because I'm wondering if Colonial's had this for a couple of years, they may have already paid the taxes.
This is just this is what was in there, the tax abstract.
Okay, but there wasn't a later one. I know this one has a ton of documents.
Yeah, that's the only one I see right down here, the third from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And then there was another one done on 5/3/2016 title policy. It's about six down from the
title. Yeah, that's the actual copy of the title,
gotcha.
Like insurance certificate.
Yep, I see. Okay. Okay. So either way, your thought process is correct, Anthony. You've got to just make some additional, this is all a part of that due diligence, you know, and just finding out what the whole scoop is there. So you're doing everything right. You're asking all the right questions. I do like this one as a deal. The other one, same thing for the plan you want to do with the one in Kentucky. I think you're fine there simply because you got the strong rent, but just again, using a local person and kind of peeking in there, I think would be very insightful for you. And like we said, negotiating those on this one, the numbers and everything also make a lot of sense, especially if you can get that hardest hit fund. And if these people are still living there and they are taking care of the place, which it seems to indicate that they are, I think you got a real good shot at this one of getting a getting a hardest hit fund done. Call the hardest hit funds too. I know you've been to their website. Call them about the application process and just make sure that funds are still available. In Illinois. Illinois got a bump payment, but I know they've been taking a lot of applications in there. So just make that extra phone call to them as well so that you're very familiar with the process and how can send it in and possibly even have somebody there that you can build a relationship with and get these folks to submit that paperwork. There may be some kind of closing dates that you have to get the paperwork in within. Again, simply because of the fact that Illinois did step up their hardest hit funds, they got additional funds, but my thought process would be on this one, I want to make sure those funds are still there, and it may help you also to the point where you can really motivate these people and say, look, you've got a small window of opportunity here. I talked to the folks at Illinois hardest hit funds, and they're taking applications right now, but when the money runs out, the money runs out, so we've got to get this in. So you might be able to use that conversation as a motivator here, but we got to get those taxes cured on this one, and that's not a deal killer on this one. Check for the HOA.
HOA, I think $125 a month, something like that.
Is that being paid?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't see anywhere where it was or not. Just that there was an HOA fee.
Okay, so look up these condos and you know, see if you can find a phone number for the HOAs. But if the HOA fees are not on there, you may be able to find those in the county website at the recorder's office as well. If the HOA has filed any paperwork for a lien, and then on our website. The membership website, and let me see if I can pull it up here. We do have a list there that Pro Title put together for us of super lien states. And let's see. I'll drag and drop that to everybody on the call. So it'll be in your. Can we not do that anymore?
I thought you could. Yeah, it's showing me the option too. Oh,
okay, I'll email this to you, and then maybe you can post it to for everybody. I'm looking at. Doesn't look like Kentucky is on there, so that's a good thing as well. What I was looking for was Anthony to see if this was a super lien state or not.
This one's because in Illinois.
This is Illinois, you're right. Thank you. Illinois is a super lien state, standalone. Notice to lender required. Okay, so Illinois is a super lien state, and I'm going to send this to right now.
Okay. I was just opening up the title. Oh, that this title was done in 2015. It didn't show any liens on the property.
It's also showing on this list from ProTitle that Illinois is a super lien state and they're not required to send a notice to the lender. HOA fees and foreclosures of cost. Yeah. Okay. So, again, double check on that and you can look up these condos or these townhomes, I should say, see if you can find a number and see. Yeah, again, and maybe these people are paying the dues. It may be that they are not paying the dues. But that's something else I would like to know if I were going to be buying this note as well. So your purchase price on the note is totally fine. Your exit strategy would be great. Hardest hit funds for sure. If you can't do that, then some kind of a loan modification would come into play. doing a loan mod, you could forgive some of that debt. They owe more than the property is worth, and therefore, if you're going to forgive some of that debt, you want to get some kind of a chunk of money up front for them to do that loan modification. And you probably want to have a good mortgage person negotiate on your behalf with that to get that done. Now, that might be a part of a law firm has that service as well, and you can go look at the law firms that we have on the helpful websites. But that's what I would be thinking in terms of hardest hit is plan A. Plan B, we can do some kind of a loan modification with them. If you can't do that, then of course it's deed in lieu or foreclosure time. But I think the numbers, you know, look good on this one. Just clarify those taxes
and we saw that Illinois is a judicial state as well, so we'd have to be ready to take 12 months.
Illinois doesn't take that long. They are judicial, but if you have a good attorney who stays on top of it, it's not going to take that long in Illinois.
Okay.
Six months or so. I mean, it's not like a month, but it's judicial, but it's quicker.
So, good. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. You bet.
All right. Next question. Let me just see if Nash is on here. And I did, I was able to put that in the handout section. So. Okay, Nash, you are unmuted.
Hey, Nash, how you doing?
Fine, Kevin. How are you doing? Thank you.
Good. Okay, so what do we have going on here? What can we help you with?
Basically, I'm just having trouble trying to justify the model because I'm considering including in my expenses the closing costs for a foreclosure, anticipating a foreclosure, and also for rehabbing, which would be to bring it up to HUD standards and NPL standards. And on some of the calls that I have heard that the rehabbing costs can be as much as $37,000 or more. So I feel like allocating in a model as an estimate some sort of an amount for closing costs to bring it to foreclosure, and also, as I said, for rehabbing. Even if we half the cost that I'm anticipating, it just doesn't seem to justify what I would get in my hand after I get 50% of the proceeds. And I don't know, there's too much noise. Do you hear noise, a lot of noise also in the background?
I hear a lot of noise here.
Okay, that's better. Also, I'm showing that in the example, the selling price to the investor would be $65,000 on a $750 per month rent at a cap of 9%. And so my share of the proceeds would be $32,500, but the expenses seem to be more if I buy the note for $21,500. And then add the costs, the closing costs, and the rehabbing costs. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers here, but I hope you get the picture of what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do. And first of all, again, for everybody, when you think in terms of the 50-50 model, it's really just another exit strategy, and it's not going to work for every property. It's just not. And you can see this is sometimes what you'll run into where you're trying, I think, force a 50-50 on a model where it's not going to work in that particular property. You might be better off doing a whole different thing on this property, maybe just selling it as is, that sort of thing, and move it on with it versus trying to force it into a 50-50. Because if the numbers don't work, you know, the numbers just aren't going to work, and that's why you run through multiple scenarios on and think in terms of when you're buying a note, what are your multiple outs? You know, you never go into these things with just one particular out. So do you already own this note? Nash?
Yes.
Okay, you already bought the note. Have you thought of...
I'm in the process of purchasing it.
Oh, you're in the process of doing that. Have you thought through some other exit strategies besides the 50-50?
Oh, of course. The other strategies look much better. The best one seems to be the HHF. Then the loan modification sounds like a good one too. And even getting a foreclosure and selling it outright seems to be a better deal. But my question, again, is a model thing for 50-50. It seems like I would have to buy a note less than $10,000, it seems. And my more important question to me is, what should one allocate as far as rehabbing costs and closing costs are concerned? First, they should be allocated, right? They shouldn't be zero as far as estimating. You see what I'm saying? It could be sometime in the future when I could buy a note for less than $10,000. I still have to allocate some money for foreclosing, attorney fees, and rehabbing.
And you're right. I mean, you have to look at all the numbers. So there's the cost of the note, and then of cost of the cure, which would be to fix that up. So it's not really you have to buy a note for less than $10,000. It's what can you buy the note for in relation to what the property is worth. Meaning, so you can buy notes for more than $10,000 and make the 50-50 work. There's no question. It's the relationship between the numbers on there. And if you get something where the rehab is too extensive, then you know it kind of messes with your numbers, where you run into that scenario, which is what you're illustrating here, is the numbers don't seem to mesh, and then you're spending a lot more money on something when you should have gone a different direction. So it's not the 10,000; it's the relationship between the two, and how good a condition is that property in, when it comes to having to put any kind of renovation in there.
Along with this modeling also, since we are dealing with low-priced properties in fairly low, you know, we're in the low-price band, so anywhere that I'm looking at would be in the $60,000 to $80,000 range, the selling price, and the rent would be maybe $600 to $800 to $900, and they need a return of 9%, 10%, 11%. So I'm limited to what I would get in my hand, you know. So it just doesn't seem to work for me any way I look at it.
Well, I think we need to go through some other case studies maybe with you and show you some more examples of things that do work and how the students bought them and how that works. But you've got to see rents that are more than 1% of what the property is worth from the very get-go. That really simple number of if the house is worth $60,000 and it's only rent for $600, it's just those numbers are going to start to work against it as far as doing a 50-50. So it's really got to be closer to 2% to make that work, you know. So I agree with you on that part, but I'm having trouble understanding where you're saying I'm buying in this price range and I can't find rents that are high enough. Is that, I think that's what you said, right? To make it work.
Yes. Well, the BPO came back and at the income level, he's estimating a $750 per month rent. Mm-hmm. And then he's projecting it at, I think, a 10% cap, and it comes to $63,000. Mm-hmm. And I ran it with our calculator also, and it was $65,000. So the price range, the selling price range is $63,000 to $65,000 at $750 per month rent in that area.
Okay. Are you looking for deals that specifically just work for the 50-50 model, or is this just a part of
I was so impressed with 50-50, and I'm very disappointed now. I just don't see it. But as you say, I think I'll drop it at this point. I think I need to see some more examples of how actually it works. But now moving on, in my last paragraph, what I'm mentioning is that, can I continue?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It seems like I was on a mentoring call a couple of days ago, and it seems like it's better to be an investor than a seller. They mentioned returns like 18%. On a 9% cap, it would be 18% or after the loan is paid off, after 5 years, let's say. And it would be 30%, and it might even be more if the price of the property goes up from $60,000 to $70,000. So that sounded like a very interesting thing to do, to become an investor rather than a seller on the 50-50 model.
Well, I think what you're missing is the fact that when you find a deal that fits the model, you will normally get back almost or more than what you had in the whole deal. And if you do that, then you own that note for free, and then your return is infinite. So we make more money on our end than the investor is going to make on that long term, simply because, again, we'll have no money in the deal and a free note. That's the goal with the 50-50 model. Now, I've got other case studies where people didn't get 50% down. They got a little bit less money down, did a little longer term note. But same thing, our returns based upon how much money you still have in the deal are going to be much higher than the investor you're selling the property to. Now, the investor you're selling the property to is going to make a good return, because we're doing much shorter financing for them, and certainly once they pay off that loan to us, well, now they own that property outright, and they're just getting 100% rent on it, less the expenses. So they'll still be making good returns, but that's, again, part of the goal with the program, because if we can successfully do that model and we're happy and the investor is happy, there is a possibility, maybe, who knows, that maybe that investor wants to buy more and more from you as well. And that's, part of putting it through lead flow and building up your database and that sort of thing in there. So I think that's what you missed on your paragraph here. Yes. But, again, it's got to be a deal where the numbers work, So I think that's And I do appreciate you putting this on. Again, it's probably better for a performing, but it does kind of show. I guarantee you're not the only one. And anytime we have questions like this, it's usually for me an indicator that, okay, we need to refine up some things a little bit. So I'll put some other things together for us and get those on some additional calls, just so we can see how the numbers are supposed to work better in this deal. The strategy and the technique itself is really solid, though. So I don't want you to walk away thinking it's not a working model. It's just it doesn't apply for all deals. But I can tell you, Eddie was in D.C. this past weekend, and they had, several hundred real estate agents there at this event. And they were telling all of these agents, independent of us, by the way, but Eddie was sitting in on this other presentation, they were telling all the agents, forget about doing short sales and forget about forget about short sales, forget about foreclosures. You guys need to focus on selling turnkey rentals. That's where the big demand is. So this came independent, again, from us. It wasn't like they knew we were there and they were teaching that. It was these real estate agents were attending an event for agents, and the thrust within the Board of Realtors is, if you want to make money in today's real estate market, you've got to identify where the big demand is, and that's buying and people buying these turnkey rental properties. So The technique itself is definitely there. The ability to do these deals, so that the supply is there for us, the demand is there for us, but then we just have to look at it, make sure, do these numbers work? Because and I know I'm repeating myself on this, but 50-50 doesn't work for all deals. That's why we look at multiple outs. But we'll put together some additional exercises on that so that people can practice that to see if they if it works, and if it doesn't, that's why again we go a different direction with it.
Kevin, one thing that stood out to me on here, and somebody else had commented on that, 10,000 seems like a lot for closing costs, does it not?
Let's see, the 10,000 he's talking. He was saying rehab.
No, an additional 20,000 for rehab. Is that correct, Nash? So for a total of 30,000.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for pointing that out. I didn't read it that way. I was reading it with
that
your
seems
with your
quite high and yes, assuming no, that all
closing costs.
It still doesn't work out the numbers. Even if I general, up the 10,000 to 5,000 and the 20,000 to 10,000, the numbers don't work out for me.
Yeah. In general, you're looking at a couple thousand dollars for attorney fees for. Foreclosure, you're not looking at 10,000. So yes, I would agree if that's what you meant, 10,000 for closing costs. That's way too high for that. We do have a allowable attorney fee list on the website that shows you what attorneys charge Fannie Mae for foreclosures that you can use as kind of a baseline, and you'll see the numbers are much smaller than that. And a lot of the properties, too, that we're looking at for this model are light rehabs. I think the last three or four case studies that I went through, the rehabs were less than $5,000 on each one of them. So, again, it's a particular technique on particular properties when the numbers all make sense. But, yes, thanks for pointing that out, Sarah. I just didn't read it that way. I was thinking that was with the rehab in there. Okay. Any other questions on that?
Thank you very much for the information, and I'm looking forward to those models.
Great. Yeah. Other. Sometimes it's just approaching in a slightly different way, and I think that's what we need. So, you're most welcome.
Yes, there are several examples in the webinar archives. You can just search 50-50 model, and you can go back and see handfuls of different webinars where we went over cases that fit the model. If you want to look at that in the meantime.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, I believe that is it. If you want to...
Yeah, let me just address Anthony's final question on there. I'm seeing there, too. Yes, with Colonial and Buy Through Notes Direct, we do give you that 10-day period of time in which you can do the final due diligence. And again, that means that we are assuming and you are doing all of your due diligence, but you just need that last little time for this, that, or the other. We have no problem with that. But so, yes, you can go ahead and say, yes, I want to buy subject to that, and then you've got the ability to do that last-minute final items, whatever it needs to be. So very good. Okay, great. All right, so let's see here. Oh yeah, coming up in October. Let's see, what are we, several weeks away now?
Next week's the last full week in September.
Is it really? Good Lord.
Yes, I know.
All right. So starting October 1st, which is actually a Saturday, so it'll be effective on that first Monday, October 3rd. That the week of October 3rd, that is when we are switching the call. So the time is going to be the same, but the days are going to switch. So this Wednesday webinar, non-performing notes that I do on Wednesdays, we're going to switch it over to Thursday. The webinar that Joe does on Thursday will be switched to Wednesday. The times will all stay the same. And again, we know that might be an inconvenience for some people, but again, you're never going to make everybody 100% happy on scheduling these things. People different people live in different areas, different parts of the countries, different work schedules, so we're doing our best to accommodate everyone there. But the benefit we felt on this one was we'll now have staggered performing, non-performing calls. So the Monday will still be the performing call with Eddie. Tuesday will be non-performing with Eddie. The Wednesday will become another performing note with Joe, and then I'll do the Thursday non-performing. That way there can have alternate dates there. So that's why we did that. And I think in the long run, that's the best move for everybody to make. Also, contest. If you have a deal that you've done, it doesn't have to be completely finished. You might be still in the process of foreclosing or still in the process of getting it rented. We can do projections on those as well. So if you've purchased a note, workout phase, you can please feel free to submit those as well. I know when you submit there, they ask you for filling out an executive summary. If you look at that executive summary and you just go, wow, that looks like a lot of work, please don't be intimidated by it. It's not that difficult of a form. And I'll tell you what, if it's just too much for you to fill that out, or you're going to take too much time, or you think it's too much work involved, just send me a couple paragraphs about the story and the supporting documents, and I can build around that. So if some of you have looked on that and you've been a little intimidated to get those in, please don't. I'll work with you on that. Once I do receive them, I don't look at the folder every day, so I know for those of you who sent them in, they have been received. I haven't looked at them in a couple of weeks, but I'm going to let it build up, and then as my schedule starts to clear, then I'll be going back through those. So I will reach out to you once that happens, and be able to work with you from there. So please submit those in. We've got a lot more categories this year, so increases your chances of winning. If you're concerned that you have to be up in front of a group of people, please don't be concerned about that either. Okay, I'll be up there on stage with you. I'll help you through it. I'll even do an interview style where you're just talking to me so you don't feel the pressure of the audience if that's been holding anybody back. And I tell you this, though, it will make a difference in your business. We've had a lot of people who never had professional speaking backgrounds. It's a little intimidating at first, but now they love it, and it translates over into your business on how you talk with other investors and everything else. So highly encourage you to get those in. So all the information is there in the syllabus. We also have the expo coming up, and I think we have a titanium event the day before, is that right, or the evening before?
Yep, the day before. Okay. Yeah. And I do know that the price for Note Expo is now $299. People had asked, and we did get confirmation on that.
Okay, so the price date has changed, and it bumped up a little bit, but please, if you can make that event, I think you're really going to enjoy it, and that's both the appreciation event as well as the expo. We'll be there as well. And what else? Is that everything?
I think that's it.
That's it. Okay, everybody. Well, thank you. I hope you enjoyed it this evening. I hope you got a lot out of it, and for those who are going to do the Titanium office visit this week, I'll see you out there Monday. We shall be in Newark, New Jersey the following weekend for a three-day big money class. So if you're out in that area and you want to attend that class, please just register with us, and I'll see you on that one also. So thank you, Sarah, for running the boards, and thank you, everybody.
Thanks. All right. Bye.